Gaoibh Galairtha, Fáilte Róth, welcome to the Gaelic Hour here on Shin 97.9 FM, and this is Austin Camerton here in Ottawa on this damp, wet, soft day. Loch, a fluch am wet and shin. Neil she roll in am wet. Neil she four, it's not cold out there. We have a wonderful program put together for you today. We're going to talk to the Irish ambassador, Ambassador Burke, about the recent partnership that evolved between Archives Canada and the National Archives in Ireland. And we also have somebody from the Canadian side, Christina Lillico, to explain some of the process that was involved. We're going to get updates from the Ottawa Gaels. They have a game today out on Hunt Club Road, Toronto, or in town St. Michael's. It's not a very nice day to be playing, but at least if you hit the ground, you won't be hitting hard ground. And we'll also be telling you about some of the events that are coming on in the city during the week. We'll be talking to Shauna Carr later on the show. The mayor has organized a multicultural event on Friday the 9th, and Coltas Cultori Éireann are participating, and Sean will talk to Sean, and he'll fill us in on that. And don't forget, any Tuesday, if you go down to St. Margaret Mary's Church in Fairbairn and Sunnyside, you can link up with some Irish Society. It's an organized drop-in where you can have a bit of lunch and meet some people. This program is brought to you in part by sponsorship from the Irish Village. And you can catch this program on the internet at www.fidelity.ca. That's FYDELITY.ca. And the music that we play, we put a playlist up online. So you can go on the website, click on the playlist, and it'll give you a list of the records, that the music that we're playing, and the CDs that we take them from. In addition, if you want to email me, you can reach me here. The email address is gaelic@fidelity.ca. That's gaelic@fidelity.ca. Agus tátur geist gudí an Gaelic Hour chin neke shocked ní. Inniu tá Ottawa Gaels ag imirt pell ar road ar bóthar Hunt Club agus tá sé an fluch an sin. I have on the line with me Noel McGinnity. Noel, are you out there?
I am.
It's a grand soft day.
A lovely soft day, as we say at home, right?
So the ladies are on the field at the moment.
Yeah, they're just gathering around there. The ball's probably going to be thrown in about 2 minutes. So it's the first game of the season, so it's pretty exciting here now at the minute.
And you have St. Michael's up from Toronto.
From Toronto, yeah.
So as I said, that game is due to start in a few moments.
Yes.
And afterwards, then the guys are due to go out.
Exactly. Yeah. That's due to start about 2:30. So
how do you rate? I know the girls did very well down in Montreal a week or so ago, and the men were not as fortunate. How do you rate the chances for the girls today?
I think they're pretty strong. You know, we've been out training a lot this year already. You know, and a good lift from the Montreal tournament. So I think they're in good shape now. A couple of new players back again this year that weren't with us last year. So I think we're looking pretty strong this year, I think. Very optimistic for success.
Toronto must have a larger pool to draw from.
For sure.
So that, of course, gives them a competitive edge.
Yes, indeed. We were fortunate enough this year. We were able to get a couple of Irish girls to come across and help us out this year. So we're allowed seven overseas players to come over for each club. Each club's allowed seven players, so we've been able to get a few players over to help us out this year.
That's fantastic. So when you said that they come over, you literally send the scouts out over, or you send the word out back in Ireland that there's some places to be filled.
Exactly, yeah, you know, we have a lot of friends in different, you know, clubs or whatever, you know, if there's students, which are normally students, so if they want to come overseas for the summer, we try and encourage them to come to Ottawa. And
okay.
We've got games for us in here and a lot of fun and a good city and a good nightlife and all the rest, so.
And
see how we sell it.
Fantastic. Well, Noel, I want to come back to you probably in about maybe half an hour just for a quick update and
okay.
see what the score will be at around that point.
All right.
Hopefully it will be a positive story you're going to tell us.
I will.
And
I'll make it up anyway.
It would be better if it's a positive, truthful story. So we'll talk to you hopefully around halftime.
All right.
Thanks, Noel.
Sounds good, Austin. Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Old asylum was storming like a scene from a costume ball, decked out in the colors of Europe and on fire with the hope of it all. There my father's own father stood huddled with the tired and the hungry and scared. Dawn of the century pilgrims, bound by the dream that they shared. They were standing in line just like cattle, hoped and sought and shouted. Somewhere one day away from sweet freedom, some tone from someone they love. Through this sprawling tower of Babel came a young man, confused and alone, determined and bound for America, carrying everything that he owns. Sometimes when I look in my grandfather's erring eyes, I see that day reflected. I can't hold my feelings inside. I see starting with nothing and working hard all of his life. So don't take it. Now he walks and stares out the window, but his eyes are still just as clear as the day he sailed through the harbor. Came ashore on the island of tears. My grandfather's days are numbered, but I won't let his memory die. He gave me the gift of this country and the look in his emigrant eyes. Sometimes when I look in my grandfather's emigrant eyes, I see that day reflected. I can't hold my feelings inside. I see starting with nothing and working hard all of his life. So don't take it for granted, say grandfather's emigrant eyes.
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9, and this is Austin Camerton. In mid-March, the Irish government and the Archives Canada announced a partnership relating to the transfer of census records into creation of an online format. And this is a project that is underway. I chatted with His Excellency Ambassador Martin Burke about the project, and it's quite interesting, and I know you'll enjoy the upcoming chat. Welcome to the Gaelic Hour, and today we are talking about the partnership between Archives Canada and the National Archives in Ireland, and Ambassador Martin Burke is on the line with me. Ambassador Burke, first of all, welcome to the Gaelic Hour.
Thank you.
Can you give us some background as to this partnership between the two archives?
Yes, as you know, over the years there's been a great interest, particularly among people of Irish ancestry abroad, in tracing their ancestry, and the National Archives of Ireland discovered that the library and archives here in Canada have progressed very rapidly into digitization of records, and discussions took place between the two organizations, and this resulted in March the 13th this year here in Ottawa, an agreement being signed between both organizations, the purpose of which is to digitize the 1901 and the 1911 Irish census records. This will give us a base in online internet terms for everybody worldwide to be able to dip into these records. The records themselves are in good condition. They were sent out here to the embassy earlier in the year, and we have transferred them over to Gatineau, where the work is progressing. Indeed, I met Ian Wilson, the Director of Library and Archives Canada, yesterday, and he said the work is proceeding rapidly, and they hope to have it ready next year. And the purpose of this, of course, will be to provide, particularly for researchers and genealogists and anybody who is interested in their Irish heritage worldwide, access to these records. They're based on the townlands or the streets in Ireland, so they're quite detailed, and interesting enough, reading some of the material I have about these records, they even record the size of houses, how many windows, how many rooms in a house. It's quite a detailed census, and of course this is the tedious part of it, transferring it from written records into a form that can be put online.
So ultimately the goal would be that all this documentation, somebody can pull it up with a link from a PDF format probably and see the original document in it in an electronic format.
That's the idea.
And so, sorry, Ambassador, as you mentioned there, and it's more as a side issue, when you talk about even the number of windows, it's something I referred to previously. This could have been going back to the time when there was a window tax.
It could be, because I thought it was rather curious that it records the number of windows, type of roof, number of rooms occupied by each family, and it's also classified according to its overall condition, and out on farms, outhouses and barns and all the rest are also included. So it's quite a detailed record.
Indeed.
And a very good, excellent source for both the history student and the genealogical researcher, plus your average person with some Irish ancestry who wants to trace back his ancestors.
And the forms in their original form, they were, of course, all handwritten.
Absolutely. I was amazed at the amount that came through the embassy here. There were boxloads of stuff coming for a week or two. So it is a tedious process at this stage, but once it's done, it will be very easy to access.
And I will be talking to the National Archives later on in the program. And actually, the interesting questions you now raise is, given that what they were dealing with were scanning handwritten records to turn them into a digital search, enable a digital search engine, certainly is interesting technology.
Absolutely. Well, apparently Library and Archives Canada were leaders in this area. They've been fortunately very well funded and have developed a very impressive facility out in Gatineau to do this kind of work.
Since the partnership was announced in mid-March, have you had much feedback or have you seen or heard of much interest in the project?
No, but we're aware, and all of this arose partly with the Irish National Archives, from the amount of inquiries that both they and embassies abroad are getting about people trying to trace their ancestors. And, of course, all of these people cannot possibly go to Dublin to look at the records, and you know, sifting through them is virtually impossible on your own. So this will provide the base. It's in response, really, Austin, to a demand for this type of information that we've acted.
Moving on, and I will take this story up the rest of it with the archives, but moving on to a few other things, there was a recent press release also from the Taoiseach's office, which affects Irish abroad.
Yes, we got some material this week, more detailed information on this. There has traditionally been what's called a centenarian bounty, that any Irish citizen in Ireland who reaches the age of 100 gets a letter from the president, and also a 2,500 bounty for their own personal use. The government has decided to extend this scheme worldwide to any Irish citizen anywhere abroad who reaches the age of 100. And we've been told this week here at the embassy that the Department of Foreign Affairs and Irish embassies abroad will be involved in administering this scheme. So if there is anybody out there who knows somebody or who hears this program, Irish-born people who reach 100 can apply for a form at any embassy to claim this, and we will process it through to the President's office.
Will there be any type of a button on your website there at the embassy? Because I know on my website I have a link over to yours.
Well, I assume this will... We've heard from our headquarters, the Department of Foreign Affairs in Dublin, that they're going to include every embassy in a new website, which should be coming online very soon. And, of course, this will be part of it.
Excellent. Excellent. The other question that may be of interest to expatriates out here is that some years ago I remember seeing that there were there's a partnership or a relationship also in relation to Social Security.
Yes, we've had an agreement for many years now, the Irish-Canadian Social Security Agreement, and this provides for, from the point of view of Irish-born people living in Canada, that they can access an old-age contributory pension, retirement pension, widow's pension, orphan's contributory allowance, or death grant if they are Irish citizens who have worked in Ireland and then who have come to Canada to work here. And indeed, they can access pensions here and there from Ireland. This has been, on the Canadian side, of course, you will have Irish citizen-born people who are here in Canada who have also secured pension rights here. You know, on the Canadian side, it includes the basic pension, the guaranteed income supplement, spouse's allowance, and under the Canada Pension Plan, retirement pension, disability benefits, and survivor benefits.
Right.
Generally, the way the scheme operates is that the money is actually paid in the country in which you are currently employed. So for Irish-born people working in Canada, it would be worked through the Canadian Social Security system.
Okay. So if somebody were to return to Ireland for retirement, it would still be paid through the Canadian system?
That's my understanding.
Right.
Although I haven't... I haven't looked in detail at the agreement, but I would think that would be the logic of it from what I've read.
If feedback warrants, at some stage in the future, I can devote more time to this. And
it's interesting. I was in Toronto earlier this week opening the Emerald Isle Senior Society, which the Department of Foreign Affairs Irish Abroad Unit have made a grant to. And talking to some of the people there, I was impressed to hear that several of them were getting Irish pensions, contributory pensions, as well as their Canadian pension.
Right.
So the system seems to be working well.
Excellent. Ambassador Burke, I've taken enough of your time today, and I do appreciate you taking the time to share some information with my listeners. Thank you very much indeed for coming on today onto the Gaelic Hour.
It's a pleasure, as always, to talk to you, Austin, and the Irish community here in Ottawa. Thank you very much.
Thanks indeed.
Bye-bye.
And the website that is being shared at the moment or is being established by Library and Archives Canada is www.collections.ca. canada.ca/forward Ireland, and I'll repeat that website again later in the program. So if you do want to write it down, or if you want to take any note, just make sure you have your pen and paper later on, and I'll repeat the website again. It's collectionscanada.ca/forward Ireland. It's fascinating, the relationship, the strong relationship that has existed between Ireland and Canada going back a long, long time. And actually, I will be covering on the 24th of June, I'm devoting a program to the Irish in Quebec. And some of the research I've been doing on that, it's been fascinating. It goes way back before the famine. It's going back into the time of the wild geese to New France and the French armies coming over. That, I think, would be a program that hopefully you would enjoy hearing. I know it's the research, as I say, I've really enjoyed putting it together.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Masadi. People no troubles on me, and that's not the battle. Come on, I'm mommy, we sipping down fairy on. Know that you're feeling them when you jump up and holla. Shaking it, take it high, bring it low. You're listening to Chin 97.9 FM. Be easy, baby. Come on, baby, I want your love.
The Little Irish Village, with the heart and crown, is the ideal place to find a good pint in a warm atmosphere. A snug pub, cosy, well-appointed alehouse with an inviting fireplace, and intimate coves for small groups. Mother McGinty's and Roisin Dubh, the Black Rose, complete the Irish Village. Sit on the patio, enjoy the buzz of the market. If it's a planned party or a casual visit, the Irish Village is the ideal spot. Music, food and drink in a welcoming atmosphere. It can only be the Irish Village.
Are you a college or university student? The Canada Millennium Scholarship Foundation works with the Ontario government to help students pay for school. The foundation has distributed over $638 million in Millennium bursaries in Ontario since 1999. Just check the appropriate box on the OSAP application to be considered. For information about the foundation and its programs, visit www.millenniumscholarships.ca.
This is the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Cummerton. And one of the great things about Chin here is that as a multicultural station, we cater to approximately 23 ethnic groups. That's one the easier way of getting around it. Now, as I was driving in this morning, I was listening to East Meets West, which is the program that's on before I come on air. And I always find it quite pleasant listening to that program. It's the Chinese community and the music, more modern music that would nearly have a Western tinge to it, coming out from the Chinese over in with the Chinese. Fascinating programs available here on Chin 97.9 FM.
Kilkenny, Ireland, 1860, my dear and loving son John. Your good friend, schoolmaster Pat McMara, so good as to write these words down. Your brothers have all gone to find work in England. House is so empty and sad. The crop of potatoes is sorely infected. A third to a half of them bad. And your sister Bridget and Patrick O'Donnell are going to be married in June. Says not to work on the railroad, be sure to come on home soon. Kilkenny, Ireland, 1870, my dear and loving son John. Hello to your missus and to your four children. May they grow healthy and strong. Michael has got in a wee bit of trouble. I suppose that he never will learn. Cause of the dampness, there's no turf to speak of, and now we have nothing to learn. Bridget is happy, name the child for her, though
she's got six of her own. Say you found work, but you don't say what kind. When you'll be coming home. Son, I'm sorry to give you the very sad news that your dear old mother has gone. We buried her down at the church in Kilkelly. Brothers and Bridget were there. Don't have to worry, she died very quickly. Remember her in your prayers. And it's so good.
This is Austin Kimmerton on Chin 97.9 FM. We ran into a little technical problem there. Unfortunately, that CD was skipping. And when that kind of thing happens, it's the joys of live radio. And we're going to continue on with another piece of music to give us a little bit of time to recover. And by the way, what you were listening to before it started skipping was Mick Maloney, Jimmy Keane, Robbie O'Connell, and Kilkelly. You're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Camerton. And that was the Cotters from their Made in Kip Breton CD called The Pleasures of Home Medley. Some of the things that are going on in the next few days here in the city. Una Berry, and Una was in with me some time ago, where we interviewed Una on her book Between Friends with Helen Levine. Una will be doing a reading at Carlingwood Library at 7 p.m. and that is on Thursday the 8th. So again, the reading Between Friends with Una Berry, Carlingwood Library, 7 p.m. on Thursday the 8th. The other thing that's going on during the week, down the Heart and Crown tonight, there's Barry Williams, and in Mother McGinty's there's Dave Anthony and Overdrive. And Wednesday coming up down there, they have Deep Harbour at the Heart and Crown. On Thursday, it's Greg Close. Then in Mother McGinty's on Thursday, there's Neil Emberg, and Kelty are playing there on Friday and Saturday. So lots and lots of activity. There's also Irish Set Dance and Ceilidh Dance classes every Wednesday evening, and that's out at the Ottawa Community Centre at 1026 Baseline Road, and they go from 7:30 until 9. Sheila Scott's involved in that. And the other thing then, if you do like some Irish language and you want to learn some Irish language, Sheila Scott has been holding classes, and that is from 7:30 until 9 over at Blessed Sacrament, 194 4th Avenue. And Sheila's number is 249-9176. On the Gaelic football scene, while we're waiting to connect back with Noel McGinnity and get an update from out on Hunt Club Road, I should tell you that tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. at the Munster Senior Hurling Championship, Waterford are playing Tipperary. That 9 a.m. is Canadian time, and that will be relayed live out down at the Heart and Crown. And that is followed by the Ulster Senior Football Championship game, and that is between Donegal and Down. So if you want to go down, have a nice breakfast and meet some people and enjoy the fun, 9 a.m. is when the hurling starts, and then that follows with the football. The following Sunday, by the way, June 11th, it's Cork versus Limerick in hurling and Armagh versus Fermanagh on football.
Sleepy little girl,
As Van Morrison urges on an evening in June, keep your eye on the ball, and we will hopefully get back to the Gaels and get an update. We're going to return to talking about the partnership between Archives Canada and the Archives in Ireland, and now we are going to talk with Christina Lillico. You're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 with Austin Camerton, and we have been talking with the Ambassador Burke, about the partnership that exists between National Archives in Ireland and Library and Archives Canada. And I have with me Christina Lillico. And Christina is the Project Manager for Web Content and Services Division with the Canadian Library and Archives, Library and Archives Canada. Christina, this project between the partnership between Ireland and Canada,
mm-hmm.
How did it come about, or where were the synergies, or what caused it to happen?
Well, this actually came about as far back as 2003. At that time, the National Archives of Ireland started to meet with the former National Archives of Canada, because at the time, the National Archives of Canada had started to gain a reputation for doing excellent work in digitization. And, of course, we had put online and have been gradually putting online our Canadian census records. And they, in fact, approached us at that time to start talking about sharing information, sharing expertise and knowledge in the area of digitization. So this has been a long time in the works.
So the attraction from an Irish perspective initially was your the competence and the expertise that Canada had had on the process.
Yes, absolutely. And international partnerships, I think, are something that that have been of interest to the archives for a long time. At the time, Library and Archives Canada was working with the National Archives in France to digitize records and create a project about New France.
When you got the information then from Ireland, the ambassador mentioned that it came in, it was all handwritten documentation.
That's right. The census records were originally handwritten, and what we're doing is we're actually scanning from microfilm reels, which have been previously scanned from the original handwritten records. So
okay.
We have a few machines that are actually running continuously, scanning these microfilmed documents.
This raises an interesting question. One of the things that happened at Ellis Island and a variety of other places were names ended up being changed because immigration mm-hmm. officers, either the arriving immigrant couldn't read or write
mm-hmm.
and pronounced their name, and it was written as somebody heard it, an American heard it, and names ended up being spelled differently. Are the machines technically advanced enough to be able to differentiate all the different handwriting styles to such an extent that some of that, like, lost in translation isn't happening?
Well, for our section of the work, what we're working on right now is strictly the scanning or the photographing of the records. So
okay.
Taking a look at the names and translating them later on, or what we're talking about is
it's something
nominal index.
And it's down the road.
That's work for down the road.
Okay.
But certainly that's something that will have to be taken into consideration.
Yeah.
And it's true with every nationality that came to Canada.
Yes, yes. And the other thing then, Is this a first partnership in this type of relationship on the census data?
It's the first partnership of its kind, certainly, where we're doing a mass amount of digitization for census records. We're talking over 3,000 microfilm reels of census records. So, of course, in the millions of numbers of people for in terms of population. So certainly a project of this scope and scale, it's the first of its kind.
How have you found reaction so far from when you launched in mid-March? Has there been much response, or have you got a lot of interest back?
The response has been absolutely fantastic. People are so excited to learn that these records are going to be coming available online and easy to access. And I think that's really one of the most important things, and to echo something that Ambassador Burke said earlier, is that both the National Archives of Ireland and Library and Archives Canada are in an ongoing effort or engaged to make these kinds of documents accessible and available to the public so that people like genealogists can come and do research, students can come and do research, people who want to do their family histories can actually take a look and see the handwritten name of their ancestor. It's a really exciting thing for people who are doing this kind of research. The result's been very, very positive.
And has it been from Canada, the Ontario, Canada, North America, global?
I think it's a very it's a global response, because of course there are Irish diaspora around the world. There are lots of Irish Canadians certainly, and there's been tremendous contributions of Irish Canadians to the development, the socioeconomic development of Canada, certainly, but around the world as well. And if you're looking at people, emigration, patterns of emigration and immigration to different areas of the world past 1901 and 1911, there will be a lot of people from around the world looking back at these kinds of records.
So if I were to go online and mm-hmm. go to the website, out of curiosity,
mm-hmm.
and just start weaving my way through, what am I potentially going to find?
Well, this is a long-term project, but the intention is that you will be able to search by your ancestor's name. We're going to create... Something's going to be created called a nominal index, where someone would actually be able to search by a person's name.
Okay.
So not only by a geographic region, which sometimes people don't always know the exact geographic region that their ancestors came from. So
this is
incredible in terms of if you're looking, technologically speaking, at the amount of people that are going to want to access these records. I mean, right now at Library and Archives, we have Canadian census records that are available, but some of them are accessible just by geographic location. We know that we get an incredible amount of hits, millions of hits over a period of a year. And to have something like this, which is of worldwide interest, which will be accessible through a nominal index, will be an amazing opportunity.
Yeah, because I know at home, like people, there's townlands, there's parishes, there's all sorts of different definitions of where somebody might be from. And I know when I meet people regularly, they'll say, oh, my family came from, and they'll mention a county.
Yes.
And that might be as much as they know.
Mm-hmm.
That they can't go beyond the town. They have no idea of the town, mm-hmm. and even then it's hazy. So the ability to do a variety of cross searches and to be able to potentially borrow down would be powerful.
That's the idea, that there will be many different points of access.
And so in order to get the word out then, how, or I know that the Irish government are doing it through the embassies and a variety of other means. What about Archives Canada? Because this kind of, this is a feather in your cap as much as everything else.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to continue to do everything we possibly can to try and promote this project, because, as I said, it's such a fantastic project and is of interest to a lot of people. And coming on radio shows like your own is one of the ways, just one of the ways that we're going to be doing that. Certainly as things begin to get launched and are made accessible, we're going to have terrific announcements and parties to celebrate the work being done and to let people know when the records are available online.
This is a good time just to mention the website.
Okay. Yes. Well, the census records will be made available through the National Archives of Ireland's website when they are launched.
Okay.
Some of the connected projects that Library and Archives Canada have been involved with. We've created a website called The Shamrock and The Maple Leaf. And
yes.
It's a website where people can come and take a look at Irish-Canadian history.
Yeah.
And it can be found through www.collectionscanada.ca. That's the
main
Library
the main
and Archives domain. Canada website.
Okay, and then there will be a page that would lead to the Shamrock and the Maple. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so go to collectionscanada.ca as the main domain, burrow down from there.
Correct.
And as you said, that's giving an overview at the moment, and ultimately the intent is that will link back into National Archives in Ireland.
That's right, exactly. We have a bit of a description of the project there right now and lots of information about Irish Canadians, but beyond that, it will link back to the census
Dublin.
Records at the National Archives of Ireland.
When you say it's a project,
mm-hmm.
What is the goal, time-wise? Like, when would the two archives, the Irish and the Canadian archives, like to be able to say we've got these two censuses, the data from these two censuses up online?
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to kid you, it is a long-term project.
I would accept that.
Over the course of a couple of years, there really isn't a fixed launch date at this time, so I don't want to...
I wouldn't say a launch date, but more this is something like maybe
a four,
5-year project.
2 to 3 years.
Right, and over that period of time, information as it becomes scanned, etc., more and more will come online.
Will become available, that's right.
Right, because I know on the U.S. side, when they launched their site initially on Ellis Island,
yes,
it was inundated like that. That site was bombarded.
Absolutely, and I think that's a really important thing to mention, that the National Archives of Ireland really want to do this right, and they want to make sure that they're able to handle the amount of web traffic that they're going to get, because they recognize how big of, as I said, of an interest there's going to be worldwide for this information.
Right, right. I'm sure over the next months, we will be hearing more and more about what's going on, and I'll certainly be anxious to keep my listeners informed.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else that you would like to share, or have we covered as much as we need to cover for today on this?
I guess I'd just like to reiterate that this project has been a terrific learning opportunity for both archival institutions. We've enjoyed working together, and there's a lot of, as I said, knowledge and expertise being shared. But ultimately, the goal is to make these things available to people.
Right.
And that's a similar goal that both the National Archives of Ireland and Library and Archives Canada have. So we look forward to working together to make those available.
Christina Lillico, thank you very much indeed for coming in and talking to us today.
Thank you for having me.
And the website is www.collectionscanada.ca/Ireland. Norm McGinnity, are you out there?
Yes, I am.
Still wet?
Yes. That's not too bad. It's just a mild drizzle.
So how have things gone so far?
Going well. We're in front at halftime, 3-4 to 1-3, so...
Okay.
And the traffic's going the right way in the second half too, so it's looking good.
So have we anyone that would be the star of the game so far?
Well, a couple of players, the half back line's been playing very well. Lisa Langevin and Lisa Connaughton actually playing, having a good game, and Daphne Ballard in the midfield as well. So there's a lot of good performances.
Okay, and the ball must be rather greasy.
It is a little bit wet. It is a little bit wet, all right. But we get them. They're all wearing gloves, so
okay.
Makes it a little bit easier to grasp it.
Good. So you would be very, very hopeful of a victory at this stage.
Oh yes, here, yeah, it's looking good. I think we're going to get a goal here. There we go, another goal. That's good.
Good stuff. Because that's what I call live reporting.
Yeah.
Who scored that one?
That was Kate Mooney, I think. Kate Mooney just scored that.
Excellent.
Yep.
Noel, I'll let you back to the game.
All right.
Tomorrow, let's link up with somebody from the Gaels and get I want to get a report on the men's game.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to somebody tomorrow, and I hope you...
Shouldn't be a problem at all.
By the way, I presume you guys will be out celebrating somewhere tonight.
Oh, we will. We usually host the team. Once any traveling teams from Toronto, we take them out at the poorhouse in the market.
Okay.
And then from there we move to other establishments around the city.
Okay, so the poorhouse is where we're going to find you tonight.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thanks a million, Noah.
All right, Austin. Take it easy.
Take it easy. Bye for now.
All right. Bye.
Bye. you're listening to Austin Cummerton on the Gaelic Hour. I have Sean O'Carroll on the line. Sean, we have only a few minutes left. Can you tell me the multicultural event that's going on Wednesday, on Friday evening, the mayor has organised and Coltus are participating. What has lined up for Coltus?
We have two sets of dancers, the elder or older adult dancers and the younger adult dancers. And the Ottawa Cayley Band will be supplying the music.
Fantastic. And where is the stage for this?
It's at Festival Plaza, which I understand is at the front of the City Hall on Laurier.
Okay. And 7 o'clock, runs from 7 until 9.
It runs from 7 until 9. And there'll be various other...
various other cultures represented?
Yes.
Excellent. So if you want to see some dancing and hear some music from Irish culture background, head down to City Hall, 7 to 9 Friday evening. Sean, thanks for coming online and sharing that.
Yes, that's Friday the 9th, eh? Friday
yes, correct. Sorry, yes. Friday the 9th.
Yes.
Thanks a million, Sean.
Okay, take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 with Austin Cummerton. I hope you've enjoyed the program and you've found it to be informative. I look forward to being back with you tomorrow, and we will share some more music. Tomorrow is a new music day. This program will be available online probably Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It gets up and it overwrites the previous week, and the website is www.fidelity.ca. That's fidelity.ca. And if you want to reach me, you can send me an email. It's gaelic@fidelity.ca. The playlist, the music that we're playing, that is up on a playlist, and the events that I announced there, they're also available on a calendar. This program is brought to you in part by the generous sponsorship of the Irish Village, and I look forward to being back with you again tomorrow. Slán go fóill.
The Gaelic Garrett, Chin 97.9 FM.
Ottawa's multicultural voice, Chin Radio, 97.9.